Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court and opposing counsel, Colette Rutel on behalf of the plaintiff appellants, who are six federally recognized Ojibwe tribes. In 1983, this court confirmed that my clients have a federally protected treaty right to hunt, fish, and gather on public lands within the ceded territory. We're before the court again today on a narrow procedural issue related to the tribe's motion for relief from final judgment under Rule 60b-5 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. It's now well settled that a state may regulate tribal treaty rights only if that regulation is necessary to prevent the extinction of a species, or if it's the least restrictive means of protecting the public from a substantial
So now, so you do this hunting on the reservation, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
They don't regulate that. Now, so you have rules for permits for people to hunt, right?
Just correct.
So how many permits do you grant a year?
Typically, and you can find this in the party's appendix, there are a series of reports that are completed annually by Dr. Gilbert, who works for the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. There's no limit on the number of permits, but they've ranged from anywhere around 1,500 in a year up to a maximum of 3,000. Not all those individuals go out and actually hunt deer. In any given year, you normally have about a third of that are successful deer hunters.
And what about the criteria for permits? Are they similar to what the state imposes, or?
Well, when it comes to specifically the new regulations here for tribal nighttime deer hunting, those were modeled after the state's chronic wasting disease eradication program. So there are very stringent requirements before you can get a permit. And in particular, individuals, well, in addition to having to be a tribal member, you have to take a 12-hour marksmanship course. And in addition to that, you have to take a marksmanship test. And that's attempted to simulate the real-life experience that you would have as a hunter. The marksmanship test is conducted at night, and you have to shoot 8 out of 10 targets that are 6.5 inches from 100 yards distance away. And only then can you get a license that enables you to hunt deer at night.
And what about accidents? How frequent are accidents to people?
The tribes introduced evidence in this case, and it's in Chris McGeechick's testimony on day 5 of the evidentiary hearing, that they have only had 3 tribal members that have been in a hunting accident since 1989, when the district court originally addressed safety.
Were these hunters who were injured, or just people wandering around in the woods?
In all of those cases, they were accidents involving a member of the same hunting party. And if you look at Wisconsin hunter safety data, about 46% of hunting accidents are self-inflicted, and the remaining accident are two-party accidents, which could be somebody else who's hunting, somebody who's part of the same party, or an individual who's making use of
public. If I recall, Justice Scalia was involved in such a problem some time ago.
And Vice President Cheney. So how does the Indian accident rate compare with a state accident rate?
The state actually has a very strong record as well of preventing hunting safety accidents. When you look in 1989, which was the time of the original trial, they were just starting to implement mandatory Wisconsin hunter safety education. And so the accident rate was around 100 accidents for the entire year across the state. And today, at least in 2012, the hunting accident rate was 28 for the entire state. So whether you're looking at the tribal accident rate or Wisconsin's...
The 28 increases the Indians? The number 28?
The number 28 included the tribal members as well, too. Yes. And when you look at the nighttime hunting program that was adopted by the state for its chronic wasting disease program, there's a stipulation in the record that there were no hunting accidents that resulted due to that activity. And the same is true for Wisconsin's 2012 nighttime public wolf hunt. There were no accidents associated with that conduct either. We believe that the district court erred in this case because rather than analyzing that safety issue, the court made a mistake about the Rule 60b-5 motion standard to be applied. If you look at the standard in Horn versus Flores, and that was actually a standard that was foreshadowed by this court in cases like the Money Store versus Harris Corp, the standard that the Supreme Court said should apply is a significant change in facts or law.
Was it, and how old was this, the original judgment? Was that 89 or 98?
The trial itself occurred in the fall of 1989, and then the court issued an opinion in that case in the spring of 1990. What happened, though, is this was part of the regulatory phase, so there were a series of trials for mm-hmm. various species, and those individual decisions were then incorporated into the final judgment in 1991. That's correct.
So that's the judgment you want modified.
That's correct, Your Honor. The standard then is, if these new facts or new laws were presented in the original lawsuit, would it have changed the outcome of that lawsuit? And we believe the answer should be yes. Unfortunately, the district court emphasized two factors that the Supreme Court and this court has acknowledged should not be considered when making decisions about Rule 60b-5 motions. And first, the court relied on the fact that the tribes had not appealed that final judgment in 1991. And the court also pointed out the tribes had not sought to modify the entire final judgment, just one piece of it. And because of that, the district court said, and this is on page 18 and 19 of its decision, that the tribes had to satisfy a heavy burden, a burden that was higher than in typical Rule 60b-5 cases. And that's simply not the case under U.S. Supreme Court precedent. If you look at Horn versus Flores, Justice Alito wrote the majority opinion there. And he said that that cannot be considered and that the Rule 60b-5 inquiry, quote, makes no reference to the presence or absence of a timely appeal. That makes perfect sense because the tribes are not arguing that the district court made an error when it issued its original decision in 1990 and the final judgment in 1991. Instead, they're arguing that changed circumstances since that time have changed the situation, and now it would be unjust to apply that judgment prospectively. In addition, the court seemed to be considering only changes in law and not changes in fact. The court mentioned on a number of occasions that the state was able to engage in nighttime deer hunting under the law prior to 1989, and that did not change after 1989, and so there was no change in law there. There was change in fact, though. Prior to 1989, the district court specifically held as one of its factual findings that a very small number of deer were shot at night in any given year. And that's important because when the tribes were attempting to prove to the court back in the 89 trial that nighttime hunting could be conducted safely, they didn't have a system of regulations that they could point to and say, under these regulations, here's the hunter safety record, now you can see the activity can be regulated safely. And that's the precise information that we do have now. We have the state of Wisconsin engaging in large-scale nighttime hunting for its CWD program, and also the general public engaged in a nighttime wolf hunt in 2012.
Are there statistics on whether it is more dangerous to hunt deer at night than during the day?
There are no statistics on that fact, Your Honor.
Because it occurs to me that when you hunt at night, the deer freezes, right, when the light hits it?
That's correct.
So it becomes a stationary target.
It does, and it's one of the things that we had argued as part of this Rule 60b-5 motion. Obviously, if you're shooting at night, one of the concerns that you have is reduced visibility due to the darkness. And the tribes have tried to mitigate that risk by, one, their regulations require the use of a light. And the light then, as you mentioned, freezes the deer in place and provides a large stationary target for hunters. And in addition, they require pre-scouting of the location during the daytime. Pre-scouting, Your Honor. Individuals are required to create a shooting plan, which means they have to go out to the site during the daytime. They have to identify the location, their stationary position that they will be shooting from. And then they have to prove that there is an adequate backstop within 125 yards of their stationary position. The whole idea for this is they will anticipate the direction and location of their shot, and they can only take shots in that direction.
Is there any evidence about how often such plans are followed as opposed to departed from?
There is not, Your Honor, because this is the first time the tribes will be implementing it, but
Have such plans been implemented in other states? You asked the district court to look at evidence from other states, so do such plans exist as a requirement elsewhere?
Yes, and they actually existed in the state of Wisconsin itself as part of its
crime. And what do we know about the safety experience in those other states?
We introduced a lot of evidence in the district court that showed the track record of safety as part of the CWD program.
When you say track record, My understanding is what you offered is which other states or which federal places allow night hunting, but not the safety experience of that night hunting. Is that incorrect?
No, it's not, Your Honor. When it came to situations outside the state of Wisconsin, we were attempting to introduce evidence that showed how prevalent the activity is.
Right, but not evidence about how safe the activity proved to be when it was allowed.
That's correct.
Isn't that the best evidence? Your contention is that night hunting, when it's allowed and conducted responsibly, is safe. Well, we've got plenty of other places where it is allowed. Why don't we find out whether it's safe?
Yeah, that is the best evidence, Your Honor. We did have that
but
in the state.
But you didn't offer any of that, I gather.
We did with respect to the state's chronic wasting disease program. Because the state of Wisconsin was a party in this litigation, we were able to obtain discovery from them, which showed the shooting plan and the actual deer that were shot for every deer shot under the chronic wasting disease plan.
So well, you have the accident rate for Wisconsin, too, don't you?
We do, yeah. Your Honor. And in addition, our hunting safety expert actually analyzed all of the nighttime hunting accidents that occurred between 1989 and the present and determined that there were a very small number of hunting safety accidents, and the only accidents that did occur were the result of either horseplay or the use of alcohol.
You're in your rebuttal time, I just want.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll reserve the remaining.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Rutel. Mr. Russomano?
May it please the Court. The state of Wisconsin asked this court to affirm Judge Crabb.
I didn't understand her reasoning at all. I don't get it. She seemed to think that the fact that many years have gone by, 23 years since the judgment was entered, that was sort of a negative for modifying. It sounds like a positive, right? A lot of things happen over that span of time. You don't want old judgments lasting forever, right?
Well, Your Honor, I agree the span of time isn't necessarily cut
right,
either way.
But she emphasized it.
Well, Your Honor, I agree she did.
She did emphasize it.
She did.
She shouldn't have, right? Shouldn't have emphasized it.
If this court believes she shouldn't have, I would argue that that wouldn't ultimately matter because Judge Crabb also ultimately addressed the changed circumstances.
But I don't understand. Look, this Indian night hunting, it's not any more dangerous than the other, than what the other people do. Your state employees do, right?
Well, Your
Honor,
they
have the same permit requirements. Why are you worried about it?
Well, Your Honor,
they hunt on their reservations and they don't have a high accident rate. Why would you expect them to have a high accident rate elsewhere?
Well, Your Honor, the concern is that it's inherently dangerous, which was what.
No, but you allow it. You allow it. So.
Wisconsin does
and
not.
Anyway, it's not inherently dangerous. What I don't understand. I should think it would be safer to hunt deer at night because the light isolates them. I mean, you can easily, and during the daytime, the deer, they're colored very similarly to the woods, right? So they're often hard to see. At night, when you freeze them with the light, they're this large stationary target. It's like shooting a target on a shooting range, so I don't know what your concern is.
Well, Your Honor, the concern with what our concern is with
there are very few accidents of any sort involving deer hunting.
Well, in Wisconsin, generally,
are you a rifle shooter yourself?
I'm sorry.
Are you a rifle shooter yourself?
I'm not, Your Honor. No.
Well, you're talking to the captain of his team, rifle team.
Uh-oh.
From junior high school, I'm afraid. Been a while.
But just to make sure we're clear on this, that in Wisconsin, the general public cannot shoot deer at night. So the night hunting that opposing counsel referred to was governmental organized shooting for a limited amount of time. It was from 2002
right.
to 2007.
Well, the worry here is missing the deer and hitting a target behind the deer, which, because it's night, you can't see.
Essentially.
Is that a problem in Wisconsin in the allowed night hunting, that is, by governmental employees?
There have not been the governmental accidents.
No. Right. Apparently, it's never happened at all. So I ask you the same question I asked your adversary. What do we know about what happens in other states and in some national locations where night hunting is currently allowed? Has that happened? Do we observe people behind the deer and obscured by darkness being hit? Does it happen?
I'm not aware of that, Your Honor.
So neither side, do you mean it doesn't happen, or do you mean I haven't done the work to find out whether it happens?
That means, yes, I'm not aware of the information and I haven't looked
for it. All right, so you haven't looked up the answer to that question.
That's correct.
Isn't that the dominant question in this litigation? The state is advancing a safety rationale. It doesn't base the safety rationale on anything in the state's own experience. And so one would think the safety rationale would be supported by experience elsewhere where night hunting occurs. And yet the state offers, well, as you've just said, zero evidence. Right? Nothing.
Your Honor, I agree that was the dominant question in 1989.
So what we, you know, the technical term to describe this, I believe, is hot air.
Sorry?
Hot air. It's lawyers talk, but without any empirical foundation. Is lawyers talk a good reason for a district court to issue or maintain an injunction where data are available but not used?
When the burden is on the party seeking a change, no, it's not enough to change, is our position, Your Honor. And the starting point is that...
But don't they have a prima facie case by showing that it is an extremely low accident rate, maybe zero accident rate, for your people, and that they are instituting permit regulations which are just as rigorous as what your people have?
Your Honor, we don't believe so because that is not a changed circumstance. They could have pitched whatever scheme they wanted back in 1989 and 1990.
What difference? I don't understand. That I don't understand at all. Things change in 23 years. This is something they want to do. And all they're doing, they want to do the same thing with the same permitting requirements as the state people, the people the state hires. And why isn't that prima facie a reasonable... What we've learned in 23 years is that nobody's been hurt with this night deer hunting. And doesn't that create at least a rough empirical basis for giving them the same shooting rights as the state people?
Well, Your Honor, we don't think so. And one reason is that the type of night shooting that's occurred since 1990 is not a one-for-one equivalent of a public member of the tribe or a member of not of the tribe going out at night and shooting for their own purposes. For example, the Chronic Wasting Disease Program was overseen by a government agency. It was a limited area. Access could be controlled to that area, and you know everyone knew who was doing what at what time, and it was limited to area and time. Now, a public member going out is different.
Okay, so that disease business is over. So is there still night shooting by government employees or contractors, government contractors?
The chronic wasting disease has ended. There is in the record evidence of nuisance type shooting by government or municipality.
So this shooting goes on. It's not limited to the wasting disease with its area restrictions. So what is the reason to think that having Indians hunting also is going to cause accidents?
Well, to answer that question, the nuisance shooting that goes on now is the kind of shooting where...
I assume you don't mean it's nuisance shooting. Shooting of nuisance deer.
Exactly, Your Honor, yes. So one example that was in the record is deer around an airport. So you what,
Pardon?
Wait, deer around an airport that are dangerous,
right,
perhaps.
Okay.
What they do and what the record reflects is that they bait a spot and they shoot down from above to shoot that deer at night. Okay? And so that's the bullet goes into the ground. That's not what the tribes propose to do at night. They propose to shoot into the distance with a high powered wide rifle.
Is that the only night shooting of deer that's going on now?
I believe that's all that I'm aware of in the record, Your Honor, yes, and all I'm aware of otherwise. Mm-hmm. And the other differences would be access. Now you have a government entity shooting at an airport. they control who goes into that land. The tribes would be shooting on public Wisconsin land, or other users may want to use that land and do use that land for other purposes, hiking, camping, hunting small game. So we're not talking about a controlled area. We're not talking about shooting down.
But what about during the daytime? There's lots of shooting, isn't there?
There's a 9-day rifle season in Wisconsin. But the tribes are allowed to shoot for a longer range of time. They have more rights because of their historical rights.
Okay, so what happens during the 9 days? This is 9 days of shooting, and are there accidents?
There are some accidents every year, a dozen to two dozen, yes.
Very few. Now, don't you want to have more shooting of deer? Because you have a far higher fatality rate from driving accidents involving deer than you do from shooting accidents. Deer, they're a pest, right? They're really very dangerous.
Well, it depends who you ask.
They're very dangerous for drivers.
Yeah, and the deer population is very large, and the number
of
deer...
Yeah, well, okay, why don't you want it thinned out so you're not killing people who are driving?
I suspect that the tribes wouldn't shoot enough to actually eradicate that.
What?
I suspect that the number of deer the tribes propose to shoot would be in the thousands, not in the hundred thousands. So we're still talking about hundreds and hundreds of thousands of deer in Wisconsin. So I don't think this is a way to solve that driving problem.
So you think if they just shoot a few thousand deer, they're going to kill people? Even though there's no history of this, I don't understand.
And the risk,
do they kill a lot of people on the reservation?
Not that we're aware of, no, Your Honor.
Have they ever killed anyone on the reservation?
I don't know if they've ever killed anyone, Your Honor.
Well, what are you worried about? If they don't kill anybody on the reservation, why would they kill anybody in a state park?
Well, we would like that not to happen without having to have an example of a death.
Excuse me? Without having an example
We don't
of
want
death?
There to be harm. We would but, like there but to stop
but
it.
That just comes back to my question. We have run a natural experiment in many other places that allow night hunting. Why don't we find out whether that's been dangerous? If it has been dangerous, then the state's position has support. If it hasn't been dangerous, then the state's position is revealed to have no support. Don't we need to know what the answer is before restricting treaty hunting rights?
Well, Your Honor, the rights are already restricted. The question here is, are we going to go back in time and redo it? I think the tribes, if they thought that was a fruitful argument, needed to come forward with evidence. We think that is not what we need to do as the state. It's already established that from Judge Crabb's 20-year-ago so ruling that hunting at night is dangerous in Wisconsin. And that
apparently it's not dangerous, yeah. Whatever people
You
thought.
Haven't articulated any basis for that conclusion other than a lawyer's say-so, which so far as I can tell rests on nothing at all.
It rests
is
on the previous judgment.
Is there some empirical basis for it?
I can tell you that the bullet from these rifles can travel 2 miles. It can travel through a deer and kill a person. At 100
That's
yards...
That's true during the day, too.
It is, but you can picture at night shining a flashlight
into
trees.
No, you can't see someone standing 2 miles behind a deer.
Well, at 100 yards...
Day, right? You hunt the deer like woods. When you're in the woods, it's very difficult. It might be very difficult to see a person who is 50 feet away.
Perhaps, Your Honor, depending on the
But words. Apparently this doesn't happen, right? How often are people killed while deer hunting?
There are the statistics we
like
have.
Like you say, it's just the other members of the shooting team who shoot each other, or shoot themselves, right?
Nobody has mentioned Bambi throughout this whole thing. I'm disappointed.
Wisconsin's law would be more interesting, by the way, if it provided for an equal contest. That is, you could only hunt deer when the deer themselves had high-powered rifles and could shoot back.
I'll pass that along, Your Honor. So, points well taken, Your Honors, but I'll just return to our position, which is this is a changed circumstances case. The burden was on the tribes to come forward with evidence that circumstances have changed since 1990 in a way that matters. Wisconsin wasn't the party seeking to change course here. We believe Judge Crabb acted reasonably when she considered that it's never been true in Wisconsin that the public can hunt deer at night. It's always been true that the government shoots at night. And I see my time is up.
Okay, thank thank you very much, Mr. Rusimano. Ms. Rutel?
Thank you, Your Honors. Just a few brief points. First, there is extensive nighttime shooting of deer that still occurs within the state of Wisconsin. As my opposing counsel mentioned, those are under nuisance deer permits, but the district court made explicit findings that hundreds of deer are shot under those nuisance permits for each permit in a year. And that's
just shooting in airports?
It's not, Your Honor. So under a nuisance permit...
Deer trying to gain altitude or something, or flapping there?
Under those nuisance permits, you can acquire those permits for shooting in agricultural areas, for shooting decorative sharp shrubbery, for example, if you're in an arboretum. Large-scale shooting occurred in some state parks and national parks when they were concerned about the extent of the deer population. So it's not simply at airports that the shooting occurs. In addition, the CWD shooting program did not occur in a narrow area. And if you look in the plaintiff's appendix 402, it shows you the locations of shooting. It was actually in the very highly populated southern portion of the state, whereas the tribes are attempting to engage in nighttime deer hunting in the lower populated ceded territory. In addition, to when it comes to shooting accidents, in the plaintiff appendix at 555, you can see the 2012 hunting incident report that will show you the number of fatalities in the state caused by deer hunting as well as all other hunting activities, and it has remained steady and very low for the past 20 years. Our last point goes to the empirical evidence, and Your Honor, we would have loved to have empirical evidence outside the state, but I can tell you that we obtained every single data session sheet, which shows every deer shot at night under the CWD program. I personally looked at them, our expert looked at them, and we provided testimony about that at the trial court level in this case. And so our empirical evidence is based on the thousands of deer that were shot at night in Wisconsin without a single hunting accident. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rattel. Thank you to both counsel.